Welcome to the Fruity Podcast. From the sugary to the savory, we all have odd and unique stories relating to the food we eat. Explore with me the intimate depths of these relationships. I'm your host, Taylor DeBoer.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fruity Podcast. It has been a minute since I did a podcast episode. The last one was with Freely, and that one was in April, so I didn't do one all summer, which is kind of on point because in summer I'm just so outside and so connected to the sun that like all of the little like extra things that I do, like podcasting or stuff in my like private community, like that kind of tends to fall by the wayside because everything is about being in the sun and soaking up every ounce of summer that there is because I'm a summer girl. And this summer was particularly so because I was working on my Sunshine Diet course, which, you know, you've probably seen me talk about on my Instagram. And that really was something that really meant a lot to me. And I poured my heart into that course. And so a lot of the late spring and early summer was dedicated to me reading as much material to make sure that I was covering all of my bases that I wanted to cover for the course, because I didn't want this course to be a bunch of just facts and studies at you, because I feel like if you're interested in the sun, you on some level, intuitive level, spiritual level, you kind of know that the sun is very important to our health, right? And you don't necessarily need all of the scientific evidence. There is lots of scientific evidence in the course, but I very strategically wove the evidence with more of a spiritual and reflective aspect. And that's what I feel like was really unique about the course and what made me the most proud, because I took the concrete facts, but then I also took things that we know that ancient civilizations do and things that we almost can feel intuitively in our own body. And I put it all together in such a beautiful way. Obviously I'm biased, but I have received a lot of great feedback. And so that my summer was really dedicated to just jumping into everything that there was about the sun, even more than I already do. And it was really, really lovely. And yeah, it was so great to learn all these amazing things. And we're now officially in fall, and I am feeling a little bit bittersweet about it, because summer is my favorite. But sumo mandarins have been in the grocery store, so I have here some sumo mandarin passion fruit juice, which is an amazing combination. Mandarin juice is hands down my favorite juice of all time. Like, pineapple comes close. This summer was certainly the summer of pineapple juice. I was drinking two 32-ounce jars of pineapple juice every day this summer. I didn't really hardly get into watermelon juice. I drink a little bit of watermelon juice, but not that much. Whereas like last summer, I was all about watermelon passion fruit juice. I couldn't get enough of it. But this summer it was pineapple. For whatever reason, my body was like, give us all the pineapple. But I think even when fall rolls back around and we get kind of back into citrus season, when I start to drink mandarin juice, I'm like, yeah, still nothing kind of tops mandarin juice in my eyes. And so then to throw some passion fruit in there, it's gold. It's liquid gold. And you know, what's amazing about nature is citrus is literally like liquid light. I mean, it is so good for our immune system. There's so much vitamin C and all these other amazing aspects in it. And it's not by accident that nature made citrus season fall in the winter months when our immune systems are a little bit, weakened from less sunlight, being outside less, and it being colder. So we have a fruit that's in season to help us through that season of the year. And it's always so profound. Something that I cover in my course pretty in depth that we'll touch on now is that first of all, our bodies are so intelligent. I say it all the time, but they really are. And vitamin D, which we often talk about, is like great for our immune system and whatnot. And a lot of times we supplement with vitamin D. And really, when you start to look into vitamin D, first of all, vitamin D isn't even a vitamin. It's a hormone. Our body makes vitamin D. When the sun touches our skin, our bare skin, again, no sunscreen, no clothes. When the sun touches our bare skin with nothing on it, our body starts to produce vitamin D. And vitamin D helps with calcium in the body. It helps boost our immune system. It does so many things that is so important. And what is fascinating is because our body knows how important vitamin D is, that it will store extra vitamin D that we get in the summer for the winter months. So the more vitamin D that you can get your body to produce in the summer, the better off you will be in the winter. The less of a chance you'll have of developing seasonal affective disorder, which is really common, especially if you live in an area where it does get very dark and cold and snowy in the wintertime. And so the more sun exposure you can get in the summertime on your bare skin, the better, because you will fare better in the winter. So your body will have these vitamin D stores to pull from, which also help you to not get sick. And I think that that's so fascinating. We tend to think that, okay, well, we need to get sun, you know, year round because our body needs it, which obviously if we can get sun year round, that's even better. But obviously our bodies have adapted to make do in periods where we can't. And so if you live in an area like that, keep that in mind going into next summer. And I cannot stress enough that if you're someone who is curious about building your sun tolerance and about how to, you know, how to expose your bare skin to the sun so that you can produce vitamin D on your own, the best way to start going about doing that is in the wintertime when the UV is not as strong, because obviously we're now facing away from the sun, or going to be. We're only in fall, we're not in winter yet, but we're going to be facing away from the sun. So the UV is very weak, so it's much harder to burn. And in fact, many physicians, when they were treating in the early 1900s, when they were treating different illnesses like tuberculosis and things with sunlight, their sunlight therapy was huge. They found that being in the sun in cold weather was specifically beneficial to these patients. So there is something to be said about being out in the sun when it's cold, because the sun is weaker and it can help build your tolerance. If you have a sun tolerance, it doesn't really matter. But if you're someone who's newer and you're wanting to be able to prepare yourself for next summer so that you don't have to rely on sunscreen and stuff as much, which you really shouldn't be relying on sunscreen, because it really confuses your body. It basically is taking a natural system in our body and shutting it down, and our body gets very confused in the sun because it's not able to give us the proper cues to say, hey, we need more sun, or hey, we've had enough sun. But you really, really utilize the wintertime to build your sun tolerance if that's something that you've really always wanted to do. And even if you feel like you're someone who can't, I promise you, you can. And that was the whole goal of my course. And I didn't really mean for this to turn into a whole selling point for my course, but I'm just so proud of it. And there's so many amazing things that are applicable year round, not just in the summertime. Because obviously when you think of sunshine, you do typically think of the summer, but sunshine is relevant year round. Obviously we get less of it in the winter, but that doesn't mean it's not relevant. And like in my mind, I'm like already counting down the days till winter solstice, because winter solstice is the darkest day of the year. But after that, we start to get more light, and I'm like, all right, we're already less than 2 months away from winter solstice. Not that I'm trying to like speed up the rest of the year, or even speed up the rest of September or the rest of October. Like, I'm certainly not trying to do that, but I'm like, all right, we'll be able to get through this very darker period. And we haven't even changed our clocks yet, back an hour. And I mean, I don't hate that. I don't love it, but I don't hate it, because by changing our clocks forward in the spring, it gets darker even later than it naturally would. Because if we stopped changing our clocks, the sun would set at the latest probably around 8 o'clock. I'm in Southern California, but right now, with us changing our clocks and having daylight savings, we spring forward. So the sun sets around 9 o'clock on the latest day of the year. And I love that. I love when it's still light out at 9 p.m. And if they change it, I would be really, really sad, which I know that it sounds like that they probably will, but I'm still holding out that maybe they won't. I know like Mexico got rid of theirs. And when I do go and visit, it's so sad, because I'm like, what? It's already 7:30 and it's dark? Like, no, at home it's still light out and it's like the same time zone, part of Mexico anyways. So yeah, it's, I hope we don't get rid of it, because I need that like late summer sun, not evenings. That's like my favorite part of summer. So this episode is about like sun exposure as a whole, and we're going to touch on a couple of different things, which we already have. One of the things that I really want to talk about is this was the first summer that I really didn't wear, that I truly didn't wear sunscreen other than on my face. And I do talk about the face. The skin on our face is much thinner than the rest of our body. You've probably heard me say this many, many times, that you do want to protect it with a hat. A hat is ideal. Sunscreen's fine. Like sometimes I'm like, I don't want to wear a hat. Like I'm going to be swimming in the water or in the ocean. Like I'm just going to put on some sunscreen, and that's totally fine. So I do that with my face and my neck. But the rest of my body, I didn't wear sunscreen on it once this whole summer. This was the first time that the entire summer I didn't wear any sunscreen. Also, last winter was the very first winter that I made it a priority to go out in the sun for 30 minutes to an hour on every day that I could. The only time I wouldn't is if it was overcast or if it was raining. And I think that that 100% solidified my sun tolerance. I've already had pretty high sun tolerance because I eat a lot of fruit and I consume a lot of things that do protect my skin from sun damage and make me more tolerant to the sun. But continuing my sun exposure through the winter months, I really think made a huge difference this year. There was one day that I got a little bit red, but I didn't burn. I just got red and I recognized that my skin got red. And so I removed myself from the sun for a bit. And then I went back out after my skin kind of calmed down and I made sure to like put aloe vera and stuff on. And that's another key thing that we don't talk about enough is your after sun care is way more important than the sunscreen that you're putting on your skin. Like, take care of your skin after it's been in the sun, moisturize, use things like aloe vera. So get into the sun in the wintertime when you can, expose most of your skin if you can. This was the summer that I truly embraced like totally naked sunbathing. And you know, people hear that and they probably think like, oh my gosh, like that's like so sexual or whatever you think of it when you hear it. Maybe you cringe, maybe you think, oh, that's hot. The purpose of me doing that wasn't for any hot or sexual reasons. It was quite literally for my health. In the same way that I get up in the morning and I make my juice, in the same way that I go to the gym, and same way that I rebound or do red light therapy, I lay in the sun naked. Like, it's just part of my health regimen, basically. And last summer, I was like mostly naked. I didn't wear my bikini top when I was at home, and I just left my bikini bottoms on. And then this summer, I was like, why am I keeping my bikini bottoms on? They're like not that much fabric anyways. And honestly, I think that helped too. And that even really... And I mean, I started doing that like last October. So it's almost been a year since I've really been sunbathing naked. And so I started at the end of summer, which again, UV rays are weaker. So I was getting my body used to doing that so that when we did reach summertime with a much stronger UV index, my body was fine and we were able to tolerate it. And it was last October too that I started really practicing yoni sunning, which I have posted about. Men, you can do perineum sunning. And letting the sun get to these areas of our body that are typically very dark and bringing in light energy to that, not only from just like what it can do on a, you know, scientific and physical level, as far as it can help kill yeast that could be in the vaginal area, it can kill other bacteria, but just the spiritual aspect of bringing light to darkness, I think is really cool. And it truly awakened something in me and it made me realize that, yeah, I want to share all of this knowledge about the sun with everyone else. So aside from not wearing sunscreen this summer, this was a summer of really sunbathing nude, and I cannot recommend it enough. Again, going back to the vitamin D topic, the more you can expose your bare skin to the sun, the more vitamin D that you're going to produce. And I actually want to go get some labs done just to see where my vitamin D levels are because I'm kind of curious. I should do it before we get too far into the weaker UV index, because I kind of want to see, you know, while it's at its peak, where I'm at, just for funsies. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that my vitamin D isn't really, really high, like in a healthy, good high way. But I'm super curious. And I kind of touched on it, is when it comes to vitamin D supplements, we don't even really know how effective they are. They're not super well regulated. There's not even a lot of evidence showing that they actually work, a lot of studies. So we're kind of just guessing, like, oh, here, take this vitamin D and like, it'll do the same thing. And I personally believe that it does not do the same thing. I do not think that you can replicate a bodily process that is happening with our relationship with the sun. I think you can give your body vitamin D, the vitamin in a way, but I do not think you can give yourself the same vitamin D hormone that we're getting from the sun as hard as we try. I don't think it's possible. And I think that's why, despite people taking high doses of vitamin D supplements, we're not really seeing them feel better. Maybe their lab numbers on a piece of paper show that it's better, but I don't think that it's the same quality vitamin D that actually is going to help heal your body from possible vitamin D deficiency symptoms that you're experiencing. And I think that that's really important to keep in mind. in the same way that I wouldn't recommend someone to eat GMO foods. Are those foods still edible? Are they still foods? Sure, yeah, they are, but they have been tampered with and it's not quite its natural state that the body is in. And also, just as a side note, when I say GMO foods, I'm not referring to hybrid fruits. Hybrid foods, hybrid produce, totally different than GMOs. And I know that's controversial, but I always like to clarify because I don't want people avoiding certain fruits or vegetables because they think they're genetically modified when they're really just a hybridized fruit. And that's, hey, that is okay. It's okay. So aside from me not wearing sunscreen this summer, and again, like even when I was in Mexico twice this year. Both times I did not wear sunscreen on my body. In fact, when I was most recently in Mexico, I hardly even wore sunscreen on my face just because of the structure of the trip. I kind of wasn't putting it on and then I would forget. And I noticed my face got a tiny bit red one day, but it wasn't burned. It just got a tiny bit red because again, the skin is thinner and I don't put it in the direct sun quite as often, but I did not burn. And a lot of people too have asked like, well, what about sunspots and what about sun damage? That then segues into the circadian argument, which is another thing that I really focused on this summer, which is why I also think my skin fared so well. And obviously this is much easier to do in the summer than the winter months. And I'm interested to see how I'm going to handle this for myself in the winter months, but stay tuned because I'll do a report in the spring on this. But I became a stickler about artificial light in my house. I do not turn on the like recessed lighting in my home during the day. I utilize the natural light from my windows. I do have an artificial light currently just to light up the video feed a little bit. But outside of me maybe filming content like this, or if I am on a call with a client and the lighting is super bad, I'll use a ring light. But I usually, as much as I can, I utilize natural light coming in from my windows. And even when I film content, I do my best to where's the best place I can sit for natural lighting so I don't have to artificially light. And plus natural lighting looks 1,000 times better on camera anyways. So that was a huge change. Granted, I never really turn on my lights in my house during the day anyways. I just utilize my windows and my like a pet peeve of mine is in the morning when I get up and I start my juicing, I do not turn the lights on. I usually get up around the time the sun comes up, maybe before. I do live in Southern California, and so a lot of times we do have the marine layer in the morning, so even if the sun is up, it's not super sunny, but I still don't like to turn lights on. I'll go to my mom's, and she's used to turning on her kitchen lights, although I think she's been better about it recently, but like I can't stand it. I'm like, this is too much light in the morning, but if that was sunlight, my eyes would be fine, but like when it's too much artificial light in the morning, no, I don't like it. And I've noticed such a difference now when I am exposed to it. Like if I'm out of town or if I have to be at the airport early in the morning, oh my gosh, my poor, poor eyes. They do not like it. I can feel it going against all the natural rhythms in my body. So not exposing myself to artificial light during the daylight hours has been huge. The other thing is as I touched on, is seeing the sunset or sunrise, excuse me, watching sunrises in the morning. That wasn't something that I started doing until this summer. And again, and also until like I researched how important it really is. And, you know, again, sometimes there's the marine layer and I don't actually get to see it, but I try to at least be outside or, you know, getting, cause you, even if there are clouds, you're still getting some of those UV rays and the time of day. So it's better. It's not great as if the sky was clear and you could see the sun, but it's better than nothing. So I, you know, was really making sure that I did that. I was not letting myself be exposed to artificial light. And then once the sun would go down in the evening, I would avoid, like the plague, turning on any lights. And it was really weird at first. It was super, super weird. As I mentioned in a social media post from last week, I have switched a lot of bulbs in my home to these full spectrum flicker-free bulbs from the Healthy Home Shop. And I love them. They also make recessed lighting bulbs. And I have swapped some of my recessed lighting. Not all of it, but I did my kitchen and my bedroom and the living room. I felt those are really important, especially when we do change our clocks and it gets dark earlier. Those are going to be lights that I'll need to turn on a little bit more because it's going to get dark so early. I'm going to need some type of light. And they have three settings, these lights. They have daytime. They have campfire, which is for around sunset time, and then they have nighttime, and it's like a really deep red. You've probably seen similar lights that are like red bulbs. It's kind of like that. And so once the sun goes down, that is the setting that I have the lights on. And again, I try to still have very minimal bulbs on. I try to rely on my lamps, and I do have those same bulbs in all of my lamps that I have around my home. And I try to rely on that. The lighting's actually cool. Like, once you get used to it, you're like, this is awesome. And what's even cool about it is you start to find yourself feeling more relaxed and like, oh, I'm ready to go to bed. I had a friend come over, and we were sitting in my kitchen talking. The sun had gone down. I did have the kitchen lights on. I had them on the nighttime mode. And he was like, yeah, these are so relaxing. Like, it makes me, like, I feel like I'm ready to go to bed. I said, see, you just gotta, like, start, like, resetting your rhythm. And your body will start to just get in line with the rhythm of the sun. And so that was a huge change that I did this year. And like I said, it'll be really interesting to see how I do and how I like it going into winter when, again, it's going to be dark by like 4:30 and I will still have things that I got to get done in my house and I'll need light for. But I'm also hoping to play around a little bit with candles this winter and see how I do if I just light more candles in addition to the, like, you know, healthier bulbs that I now have. So yeah, those are like the kind of overarching changes that I made this summer that have made such a difference in my tolerance for the sun, just on like a foundational level. And if I could stress anything, it would be to start regulating your circadian rhythm. I will say that the area in which that I'm trying to improve, because I am by no means perfect. Like, I never want anyone to think that, well, Taylor does it perfectly. I don't know how. Like, I still don't do it perfectly. I still will be on my phone after the sun goes down. And in theory, you should not even be on your phone because that's blue light, right? And that's not great for the pineal gland in regulating our circadian rhythms. I do have a screen protector on my phone that is a blue light blocking filter, so it filters out some of the blue light. It's not perfect. It doesn't filter out all of it. It definitely reduces it. The other thing that I will wear is I have my nighttime blue light glasses. I don't have them in my office because I keep them next to my nightstand for when I do get into bed. And if I'm going to be on my phone for a minute, I wear those glasses. They have the orange, like, amber lenses. And that's what I'll do if I'm going to look at my phone after it's dark and I'm in bed. Although I will say I'm guilty. I don't put them on once it's dark if I'm around my house. And that's somewhere I want to improve. Once the sun goes down, I want to put those glasses on because I'm still looking at my phone. And I do watch some TV before I go to bed. This summer, I was really proud. I hardly watched any TV this summer. Really, from May till now, I've hardly watched any TV. If I've watched anything, I've watched it while I'm, like, eating my dinner if I'm by myself and it's still light out at that time. But, like, once the sun went down, I hardly watched TV. I was reading so much for the course that I was like, oh, I gotta finish this book. I gotta finish that book. So it was actually kind of a good thing. So I was really able to experiment what it was like not watching TV before bed. And I slept a lot better, I think, just as a whole. Mentally, I was even feeling better. I was feeling more connected. I really feel like this too, for not only this amazing shift in my tolerance for the sun this year, but also a shift in my connection with nature, with the universe. And I think a lot of that was because I was kind of disconnecting from all these artificial things in my life. Artificial bulbs, too much TV. And again, I'm not anti-TV. Like, there are TV shows that I like. One of my friends had me, like, suggested that I watch The Summer I Turned Pretty. I had not watched that at all. And so a couple of weeks ago, I did binge that and I watched it all. And this might be controversial, but I was like Team Jeremy the entire time, and like, it's over and I still was like Team Jeremy to the end, almost, until they introduced Benito. Then I was like, oh, I'm Team Benito. But I was like, I don't know. I knew she was going to end up with Conrad. I just knew. Obviously, I hope no one watching this hasn't watched that show and I just spoiled the whole thing for you. But I mean, come on, I knew she was going to end up with Conrad. Like, I just knew it. But I was just like, oh, I'm still Team Jeremy. But then when she was in Paris, I was just like, well, maybe she shouldn't be with either of them. And she can be with Benito. Like, that was my view on that. But anyway, so, like, I'm still human. I still watch shows. So I just found myself watching a lot less this summer. And I loved it. I really loved it. And again, if I did, I was watching it while I was having dinner while the sun was still up, and I would, like, put it on my iPad if I was, like, doing dishes or even prepping dinner. But once it was dark, I wasn't watching anything, which will be harder in the winter. Also, the winter, it's colder, right? Like, you're not out doing summer evening activities, and so you're at home, you're on the couch. Like, especially for me, like at Christmas time, my Christmas tree's up, which I have no idea how I'm going to deal with that because that's LED bulbs. And I'm like already thinking, I'm already thinking ahead, like, what am I going to do? I don't think they make full spectrum Christmas lights, but who knows? Maybe they do. I have to do some research. So I say all of this to say, though, that like I have made so many changes and I've been very proactive about making my body and my rhythms in tune, in sync with the sun to build my tolerance. But again, I still feel like I have work to do. And health, whether it's nutritional health or lifestyle health, it is, there's no finish line. You're constantly improving. You're constantly finding, learning new things and figuring out what works best for you. Like, you're never going to be fully finished. And I kind of find that to be the beauty of health, because it is a constant evolving thing and our bodies are constantly evolving as well. And so we kind of have to listen to them and be like, okay, this is what I need more of now. Like, for whatever reason this summer, my body was like, we need more pineapple juice. Give us more pineapple juice. Like, if I was basing my typical summer juice routine off past summers, I wouldn't have given myself that much pineapple juice. But something this year was like, this is what we want. We get to have it. We're needing these nutrients. So I think that's what's beautiful about health is it's constantly evolving. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about it, is because there's always something to learn. There's always something to get better at. And I can see how some people might look at that and think like, well, that's super overwhelming. Like, I don't have time for that. And that's why I try to be a voice in the health space to at least, you know, I can go do all the legwork and come back and say, this is what I would recommend. You should be careful with artificial light. You should, you know, eat better so you can tolerate the sun. Obviously, you have to follow different practitioners that you like for their niche, because health is so vast. Like, I can't sit here and educate you on everything health related, even though there's so many things health related that I know that I could tell you and I could recommend, but I have to narrow it down to one thing. Otherwise, like, that would really be overwhelming. And so, you know, even for yourself, do your best to be like, okay, I'm going to focus this winter on not exposing myself to artificial light at night as much, or this winter I'm going to focus on getting in the sun every day for 30 minutes to, you know, let my skin, my bare skin, be exposed. This summer I'm going to start eating more fruit so that I have the nutrient foundation for sun tolerance. Like, pick one thing and kind of become good at that and really add that into your life in a solid way, and then you can expand on it. If you're trying to change so many things at once, that will overwhelm you and you will end up probably just failing. Like, you cannot go 0 to 100. You need to do like 1-2% changes every single day. That will set you up for success. Every client that I've ever worked with who's like, oh no, just give it to me all up front. Tell me everything I'm going to have to change. And then we'll backtrack and work on it together. And I'm like, I really am reluctant to do that, because if you try to do it at once, your body's going to kind of go into shock, so to speak, or even mentally, it will just be super mentally stressful. And if you think about, like, if you have dogs, like I have dogs, and one of the things that every vet always tells you, if you're going to switch their food, you need to do it slowly over the course of a week or two. Why do we not take that same philosophy and apply it to ourselves? Our bodies are sensitive too. If we're going to make a change, if you want to add more fruit to your diet, don't go 0 to 100 and all of a sudden cut everything out and eat all fruit all day long. You're probably not going to feel very good. Eventually you will, but you'll probably go through a very intense, like, purging period, which, you know, what needs to happen. But I don't, why put yourself through such an intense cleansing, purging period when you can do it gently over time and it be a little more painless, you know? So give yourself some grace and just take it one thing at a time. If you are interested in improving, you know, your sun tolerance and getting more safe sun exposure, then pick something this winter to work on and get yourself prepared for next summer. Obviously, if you want to dive more in depth, and learn more, then check out my Sunshine Diet course. The link will be in the show notes. The link's in my bio on Instagram. Check it out. Like, you know, it doesn't matter to me if you do or don't, but like I said, I poured so much love into it and I really, really am so proud of it. And I wanted it to be something that was useful and beneficial, and it's something that you can refer back to always. And I'm hoping to even expand on it further and go deeper. There's so much more that I felt like I could address. But yeah, so I hope that even this summer, that I was able to offer some light to you to be less afraid of the sun, to get yourself into the sun more this summer. So now you have work to do to prepare yourselves for next summer. And I can't wait to do a whole update after the winter months of how my artificial light exposure went, to report back to you guys, and even to hear how your guys's like fall and winter goes. So thanks for listening to this episode, and I will hopefully make it not so long until the next episode. It is my goal to kind of jump back into episodes and get some more cool guests on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fruity Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, it would be an honor to have you leave a review. It helps bring more eyes and ears to the podcast, which can continue to spark the conversation about food and our health. I hope you have a fruitful rest of your day.